You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
I'm Michael Harriet, world famous white peopologist, and this is The Griot Daily. Welcome back to The Griot Daily as we continue our conversation with New Orleans filmmaker Edward Buckles, whose documentary Katrina Babies tells the stories of children whose lives were forever changed with Hurricane Katrina.
2020 hits and like pandemic hits and God set us down, right? And when God set us down, I was forced to just sit quiet with Katrina Babies. I didn't have any other work coming in. I got that call, like, you know, I got that annual call from Chike, like, yo, what's going on with our Katrina Babies? I might have an opportunity for you. And he introduced me to his producer, RG Rosenberg, and then also introduced me to a company that he was working with, Time Studios of Time Magazine. And, you know, honestly, bro, everything started moving fast after that. A few weeks later, we pitched to HBO, and like HBO wanted it in the room. And, you know, it's just been the grind since then, you know? So I'm still kind of, I don't want to say shocked, but like, you know, I'm still, it's still like a feeling of like surrealism. Like, you know, to even be here, you know, talking to you about it, like we have a finished product. It's still like a bit surreal, but I'm grateful, you know?
Yeah. And having been in those rooms, man, I know like, you have to have what, you know, a couple of kinds of pictures. There's this long picture. You go to give them, tell them everything about the film. But then there's what they call an elevator pitch, where you have to basically summarize not just why they should make this film, but why somebody would watch this film. And so I always thought that the elevator pitch is what people should be giving out to the audience when they go out and talk about the movie.
Yeah.
So what is the elevator pitch for Katrina Babies?
So what's funny is there's another pitch, right, that like we discovered on this project, and it was the personal emotional pitch, right?
The displacing of Black communities all over the city started to cause like this trickle-down effect of, you know, you are no longer in the community you came up in. You are now being put in like concentrated areas or like pockets to where people that are territorial and are super, you know, hard up about where they're from, now being placed in certain parts of the city because they were displaced or they lost their homes, and you know, now the rent for the whole street has gone up and new people have moved in. Think about what that does to a community. It destabilizes it.
Again, because this project was so close to me, it's impossible for me to follow like a textbook way of pitching this film. I have to, you know, speak about it from like a personal level. So my pitch was all like, man, like it's been a minute, but my pitch was almost like, you know, I was 13 years old when our Hurricane Katrina hit. And, you know, everybody always says that Hurricane Katrina is overly spoken about, right? It's overly spoken about, and like New Orleans is rebuilt. We don't want to hear those stories no more. But how can that be if no one ever spoke to me and my peers? Like, no one ever asked us how we felt about, you know, being like on those roofs and being like in those attics and, you know, all of that stuff and like being uprooted, right? And it was somewhere around there. But honestly, like, man, like, when I pitched it, I went into like this world of like surrealism, and like I just like, they call it, right? I just started, you know what I'm saying? And like by the end of the thing, like everybody was almost in tears, and it worked out. Cootie and Chike always tell me, man, soak that up, because like every pitch don't go like that, you know? Like every pitch is not going to be something that's personal, and you know, people are crying in the room. Sometimes studios are playing hard to get, you know, they'll go back and forth with you. So I'm definitely blessed that we got that opportunity for Katrina Babies.
So one of the things I like about this movie, I mean, I probably the thing I like the most about it, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, is it's not just the story of a thing that happened. It is the story of why things are the way they are now. Right? Like, you, even how the behavior and the crime and how we see people now, all of that was affected by this one incident, right? And not just this one incident, but how the government responded, how we responded, how communities responded. When you think about the displacement, when you think about the poverty that it caused, when they talk about the behavior and the families that it broke up, I almost saw it as like this microcosm in a larger context of Black people in general, right? Like Katrina was a thing that happened to people in New Orleans, America was a thing that happened to us.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's almost a metaphor for all of us, right? When you were making it, and I was wondering if you saw that, if you saw that it was just something bigger than these specific stories that you were telling.
Well, I got to go back to living it, right? So something that, like you just said, you know, spoke to me because, like, something that, you know, I've been saying to almost every press outlet, this is not just a New Orleans story. This is a very American story. And, like, you know, it's happening in backyards all over the world right now. You know, in Mississippi it's happening, right? It happened in Flint, you know, and, like, in some ways with this pandemic, it's happening to Black and disenfranchised people, you know, like, all over America, right? So it's a very American story. And, like, you know, I love what you just said about, you know, what happened to New Orleans is kind of what happened to America, like, with all Black people. So I think that when you ask me when I started to realize that this was not just a natural disaster and that it was very unnatural in the way that it was responded to and the way that, you know, Black people were treated in recovery, and not even just recovery, but, like, you know, even during the storm, I got to go back to when I was 13 years old. And, you know, I got to go back to before Katrina, when New Orleans was Black. And, you know, I hardly saw white people. Like, I barely saw white folks, right? So I was around such a Black culture and like, you know, I was so innocent, right? You know, because, like of the fact that I didn't think that racism didn't exist. I was just around all Black people. Like, you know, so, like, I wasn't even thinking about it as a kid, right? But, like, during Katrina, you know, I'll never forget as I'm laying in the shelter on the floor, like, you know, again, because my parents and I evacuated. And, like, as I'm laying, like, on the shelter, on the floor, and my parents are trying to wonder what's next. And, like, I don't know what's going on. And then, you know, I see a 20-something-year-old Kanye West on the telethon talking about how Black people received the slowest treatment, slowest help ever. And, like, you know, talking about how, you know, white people are being, you know, labeled as looking for food while Black people are being called looters.
I hate the way they portray us in the media. If you see a Black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food, and you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are Black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the TV because it's too hard to watch.
Once he said all of that, and obviously George Bush, like, you know, like, doesn't care about Black people, and, like, you know, I'm hearing people in my family applaud, right? I'm hearing, like, you know, people, like, in the shelter applaud because we're all sitting there trying to figure out what's next. That was, like, a very, like, defining moment for me when it came to Hurricane Katrina of, like, wait, this is not just a natural disaster. Like, this is because I'm Black. Like, I'm in this position because of the fact that I'm Black. And then obviously, you know, when I'm seeing other people who are from New Orleans who are not Black or, like, from Louisiana, and, like, they're getting, like, faster treatment than we are, right? And, like, you know, we are in, like, the worst shape, you know? So, like, I saw it very early on. Like, you know, that innocence was taken away from me very early on. So by the time I started to work on this project, you know, I was already going in it with some thoughts about resource allocation and racism. The only thing that I didn't have was a name for it. I didn't know what all of this stuff was called, right? I didn't know how to label it. And, like, you know, sometimes, you know, as Black folks, like, I think that that's how we get left out of the conversation and, like, you know, ways that, like, we can't fight for ourselves because we don't know what to call it. So by making this documentary, I learned, like, the labels. I learned the terminology so that I can use it to fight with. So I definitely had that curtain pulled, like pulled away at a very, very young age. So by the time I started making this film, I was already kind of, like, ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was already, you know, like, ready to go. I was super young, you know? So it was a bit intimidating, you know, to be so young making this film and like, carrying, like, the weight of Katrina, carrying the weight of New Orleans, and carrying, like, the weight of America's racism and, like, you know, America's, like, slow help towards, like, Black and disenfranchised people.
When I watched this movie, one of the things I have to ask myself, and I think one of the things the audience will have to ask ourselves, and again, I might be prejudiced by viewing it as kind of a metaphor for all of us, but, like, we ain't got no time machine. We ain't got, like, how do we fix this? Has America learned anything from how it handled Hurricane Katrina? Well, check out part 3 of our conversation with Edward Buckles, and you'll hear more about what he's learned, whether America has redeemed itself, and what the future looks like. Don't forget to subscribe to The Griot Daily to make sure you don't miss this conversation. More on Katrina Babies next time.
are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You're watching the Blackest Questions Podcast with Christina Greer.
In this podcast, we ask our guests 5 of the blackest questions so we can learn a little bit more about them and have some fun while we're doing it.
Okay, so this is a trick question.
We're also going to learn a lot about Black history, past and present.
Beautiful. I learned a wonderful fact today. Great.
So here's how it works. We have 5 rounds of questions about us, Black history, the whole diaspora, current events, you name it. With each round, the questions get a little tougher.
Oh, you got me. You got me. Let me see.
I have no idea.
I knew you were going to go there, Dr. Greer.
Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with everyone you know.